Brother Lou, could you take us to the throne of grace, please? Well, friends, last year it was our privilege to be assigned this service of blessing to you all. And I don't know if you recall, but we had an ice storm. So we canceled and we didn't have the service. So, that was fine with that. But in the meantime, you know, a lot has happened this past year. And another thing that I should mention is my dear wife is always on me for, I always want to write a new talk every time. I never want to re-give a talk. And she said, those are good talks. You should just give them again. Well, we had this talk that we didn't give. And we just wanted to mention to you that we're not going to give the talk that we had written last year. There was a little secret goal that I had this past year. And unfortunately, I was not able to attain that goal. But I had shared it with my wife. And because of my choice today that she knows of, she said I should mention what this goal was. And my goal was to meet with Brother Jerry and see if he wanted to give a last talk, and I would deliver it. But I never was able to achieve that. So I was debating about whether or not to do this today. And I thought, there was going to be an empty spot around a Christmas tree this year. And so I thought I want to dedicate this talk, of course, to all the family, but especially to the Anders family. And I must have listened to Brother Jerry's 2009 Christmas talk 15 times past couple weeks, and I finally decided, what am I doing? So I transcribed it, and I read it to you today. And one of the things that was overwhelming to me in this talk was how many times, and you can count them, how many times Brother Jerry gave the message of love. I hope I can get through this. I know there's some shaky parts in here, but I didn't think this was one of them. So forgive me if I am offending anybody by doing this, but I think it's such a wonderful message, and it is the Lord's message. Brother Jerry was the conduit, and so I'm joining him as the conduit of the Lord's message. So pretty much from this point forward, I'm quoting Brother Jerry. We appreciate seeing you all here. We hope we can all be blessed together. Once again, we come to the season when we open the packages of memories. By the way, he called this Christmas Memories, and we titled it Christmas Memories Regifted. Memories of Christmas past, hopes for Christmas present, and the holly and the mistletoe and the cheery greetings with happy smiles, bubble lights and succulent aromas from the kitchen, families gathering and memories garnered that will last forever. The moods of Christmas indeed are many and wondrous. They speak of joy, and they speak of hope, and they speak of laughter, and of love, and of warmth, of peace on earth, and goodwill towards men. These moods can be beautifully expressed through one another, and each one can be touched with the special magic of the season, as goodwill and friendship are expressed in the words and the acts of others. a season radiant with song, busy with laughter, all enter into the God-given quality of giving and exchanging of cheerfulness and love. But alas, all too soon, lost for another year as the coming and going of the winter solstice. But is this the hope and purpose of Christmas? We read from Luke 2:4, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child." And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. The joy and the wonder, delight and mystery still clings to the timeless story of Christmas. Doesn't the mere reading of the Christmas story fill the mind with wonder? What about the word Bethlehem or manger? Maybe it's swaddling clothes. They do something for the heart. And isn't it nice to hear about the little lame prince with his beloved lamb as he carried it to the stable for a gift for Jesus? Doesn't that remind you of someone, possibly someone in your own family, that is willing to sacrifice for the joy of others? And so many are taken up by the mysterious strangers from the east. Oh, star of wonder, star of hope. But someone may say, what about Christmas with all its modern trappings? Doesn't it take the heart out of the gospel? Well, it needn't. Faith should grasp the story of the strangers from the east and give us something important, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. There is more than giving. It's sharing. The divine quality of love and seeing God's sharing of his Son. Back of all nebular hypotheses, primordial germs, all stardust, there lays this fundamental principle, the love of God, of our Savior and our fellow men. All else is subservient. And the manger, it's a most blessed gift. A babe in swaddling clothes. Who but Jehovah could give such a lesson? The humbling before the exaltation. Can we think of a better way for such a lesson? It was Jesus as the only begotten Son before he came to earth. It was his hand which spread the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. It was his arm that flung the worlds into space and fashioned the flowers of the field. It was he that filled the earth with beauty. He could have made everything black, but he didn't. He filled it with beauty and with the colors we are surrounded with today. Upon all things, upon earth, air, sky, he writes the message of the Father's love for all. This is the one who humbled himself and became obedient to death. No wonder the true meaning of Christmas first brings wonderment, and as it is contemplated, it brings delight. And as it is entered into, it brings forth meaning into our lives. There is no bird that wings in the sky, no animal that moves upon the ground that ministers to the life of another. This principle sets forth the great meaning we find in the true spirit of Christmas. And as the true spirit of Christmas enters into our hearts and aligns our hearts with the dimension of transcendency, the extraordinary, it captures the beauty and deeper meaning of Christmas as it is narrated in John 15:13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Don't you all appreciate a friend that would do that for you? And remember, Jesus did it because he is your friend. Now that is transcendence. And this is the heart of the story of Christmas. It all began in a manger. The Father could have left out the story concerning the birth of the child in Bethlehem, but he didn't. And we're glad he didn't. What beauty, what rich meaning it adds to the gospel of good news. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now that is hard for the finite mind to grasp. How could a father give his son over to death for others? It is hard to appreciate until we read the last part of this verse, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is the purpose. Because of his gracious giving, everyone would be able to live eternally. The story of the manger, that there was no room at the inn, opens up the heavenly side of the story of life. Can we really know the Son of Man without knowing this portion of his life? This surely involves a mother's abiding care and love. It involves the love of brothers and sisters, the love of friendship, townspeople, neighbors, people of ordinary means, people in everyday clothes, people of like proclivities as our own. At man's resurrection day, think of the story that Mary, the mother of Jesus, would relate to those who would want to hear. Maybe she'll tell them about a peaceful valley ringed by 15 rounded hills, flocks grazing among the pomegranate trees. Partway up the hill, cupped by nature's sanctuary, was the town, the home of the boy. There, just down the road, was the old house and the carpenter shop where he worked with his stepfather, carving plowshares and yokes. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This may answer another reason behind the story of Christmas. The man Jesus lived and experienced like things as others in the world, that he could be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. A mother knows a measure of the great drama that brings forth into the world a child, the yearnings and the anxieties, the uncertainties, the joys and the high dreams of nurturing a life. And surely God knows, for all the creation are of his hand. Behold the children that grew up with him as they played their games together, the bond of friendship and caring love blossomed, which never will be forgotten. And isn't it wonderful to realize that these ties of friendship and joy will be recalled on Resurrection Day? And as each of their perceptions expand in the day of their visitation, when they come to realize what their friend and playmate had once done for them, what love and wonder will fill their hearts, I am sure. And he has done no less for you and for me. Sometimes we don't take the time to think of a Christian's human side of life's drama behind each of the stories of Christmas, how Jesus wanted to be identified with us all. How appropriate that the strange man from the east would suddenly appear on the scene and telling of the wondrous star and what it meant to follow it. They had found the child at last. Matthew 2:2, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him." Hundreds of miles they came. This makes our hearts beat a little quicker in our chests. We have seen the star in the east, and we know by your very presence here that each of you want to know a little more about him, that you may worship him and lay your gift before him. As a granddad would do for his grandchildren, each one will remember the greatest gift of all, God's gift to us, even Jesus. John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. This is your promise. We need these Christmas stories. We need the songs of Christmas, not just the tale of Rudolph and his nose. We need understanding that adds breath to the man of the heart, to drink from the spiritual book of Christmas, to understand the babe and all that he portends. You know, friends and family, the Bible is your book. It is the story for us. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Everything we cherish to find in our lives is stated here. This will be the ultimate Christmas gift. What color this gives to the Christmas message. Divine love is inaugurated for the blessings for mankind. So tell the stories because they need to be told, and sing the songs, and draw the pictures, set up the manger scenes, and through it all, proclaim the central truth of Christmas, Emmanuel with us. Now, when the clock of time came to the hour Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Luke 2:11, for unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The infinite investment, the phrase, unto you is born, contains the fundamental philosophy of the divine plan of the ages. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem us. The Nativity was the school of steadfast faith, administering love and joy and hope, mercy and grace, and on, embodying a life meant for sharing. Luke 2:12, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. How wonderfully the Lord brings his counsel to pass without leaving the friends in the web of sin, immortal sins. Heaven and earth meet in a poor manger. Incomprehensible. We stand at amazement at what the manger concealed and what it reveals. The infant body has its speech. It tells that God doesn't forget his promises. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. In 1 John 4:9, it is manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. The founder of the universe rocked in a cradle. That teaches us that the Lord is concerned with the little things. There's no detail left to chance. It helps us with our faith, with the extensiveness that brings security with it from the past to the present. A sign is given. A sign that is almost as wonderful as the occurrence when we think of what it teaches. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. There is something indescribably wonderful and touching in the care of Jehovah, to satisfy the secret yearnings of individuals in the eternal salvation of millions. He sent his Son to redeem us, angels to announce him, men to behold him, and the hand of a woman to tend him. Jehovah wants everyone involved. He has a part for each one of you, that he may give a clear eye to estimate the word of God, a loose tongue to express the beauty of his plan. Psalm 107:21-22. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. So it is written, so it shall be. Luke 2:8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Shepherds abiding. Jehovah always has someone ready, willing to attend his business. But why the shepherds? Why not the leaders of Israel? Alas, the leaders of Israel rehearse their meaningless prayers. They perform the rites of worship and hearts touched but not able to hear the angels sing, longing for their phylacteries to be seen, but not able to behold the riches laying in the manger. It was the shepherds who heard the angels sing. The humble and the contrite are those that God turns to carry his message. He could have sent his angels to carry the message, but he sent the angels to sing to us. And he wants us to carry the message to others. Luke 2:9-10. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, that's the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Shepherds listening to the angels singing. One day, all will listen to the singing of angels. In fact, there is a text in the Old Testament that says, someday Jehovah will sing over his sons. I imagine that will be a beautiful voice to hear. And he's hearing it now. My words. Every time we listen to the words of Christmas, it tells us that the human family are still the object of the Heavenly Father's concern as the day he sent his only begotten Son into the world. Doesn't the Bible reveal a touching side to God's personality? He cares. He feels earth's hurt. He has concern. He feels earth's hurt so much that he will not rest as long as there is one unhappy person remaining. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. In wonder and in haste, the shepherds made their way to Bethlehem, the scene of the marvel of heaven's announcement, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. They saw the babe, and their wonder was turned to praise. And they added their amazing experience to the gospel that all of us would know. They would never be the same. They were touched by the light of heaven. How could they not be changed? So as we go forth into this season, let us retain a taste of the shepherd's life. Luke 2:17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child, the first evangelists. Names unknown on earth, but names written in heaven, we are sure. Though the influence of the shepherds was too little for their words to go beyond their immediate circle, Think of their message as it reached down through the centuries. Luke 2:18, "And all they that heard wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." The good news left no one who heard it unmoved. And all the years rolled by, faith would be tried, strengthened, and crowned because of the happenings of that night. For we would like to think that some of them, if not all, lived to hear more of the deep things of heaven as the babe grew to manhood. So when we sing and hear the carols, let us think that they are but the echoes of the angels' songs to the shepherds of today. Luke 1:32. "He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." The Son of the Highest is his diploma. The evidence of the success of the Christmas story, the fruit of his labor, will be read by posterity. This is greatness. He came down to achieve the greatest work of all time, redemption and reconciliation. He shall be great. And that is God's promise to us. To us, he is already great. How could it be otherwise? We have heard the Christmas story in the true light. We know about the cross. We know about Pentecost. We know about resurrection. And those of us stepped into this dying can share these hopes, which will soon blaze in the sky as if the light of Bethlehem's hill did so many centuries ago. It is in Jesus alone that the love of God is fully seen, not merely in all its intensity, but in all its varied directions. The world has its humbugs, and sometimes we do ourselves. Part of the reason is because life gets to be such a fast ride that we are hard put to savor the scenery we pass, to cherish the people who are making this trip with us. The true Christmas is about people. In the light of Christmas will be seen the law of self-renouncing love. It is the law of life in heaven and earth. It is the love that seeketh not her own, that has its source in the heart of God, the Father, and that also in the life of the Son. It's manifest, the character of him, and dwelleth in the light of him who one day all mankind will approach in mind and in spirit. So then every time we purchase a gift, let us remember the gift from heaven, even Jesus. It will make that gift a little more precious to the giver as well as to the receiver, we're sure. Every carol we sing may it inspire the hope for the true Christ's day soon to be established here on earth. And every time we offer the greeting, "Merry Christmas," let it remind us of the hope pretended of in the babe in the manger, the one altogether lovely, Emmanuel with us. You might say, "Well, it sounds like he's trying to convert me." No, I don't do the converting, but God does, and so does Jesus. And if any of these words find resonance in your heart or mind, you can thank the Lord that he's doing something with you now. And if not, one day in the kingdom, you shall surely come to know him as we all do. So this Christmas, let us think a little more about our Father and what he's done for us and what the Son is doing for us and what we are trying to do for each other. And that as we share these days together in December, things will seem a little more precious as each one of you thinks of your families and the little ones. what you're doing for them and that gift. It might only be a tie, Carol. But remember, it's coming from the heart. So let's make this a Christmas, not only to each other, but to our Father in heaven and His blessed Son. May the Lord add His blessing. End quote. Wasn't that beautiful? Did you count the love? I think there's about 20 occurrences of the word love in that document, and we appreciated it thoroughly, and we hope that it resounds in your hearts like it did in ours. Merry Christmas to you all. May the Lord add His blessing. Can we complete this service with the singing of the backside, Hark the Herald Angels? Let us pray. And now our all-wise, generous, loving, giving, compassionate, and caring Heavenly Father, we come before You to thank You for this wonderful gift. We are so unworthy. And dear Father, we pray that You might bless this season in each of our hearts, that we might carry forth Your message of love, that we might be that love, and that we might in some way be reconciled to Thee. Nay, not in some way, but through Christ. Now, Father, we pray that You would continue to fill us with gratitude and goodness and cheer, that we might have the smile on our face that tells the message of Thy love in our hearts. Be with all the world. We long for Your full establishment of Your kingdom. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.